All right. We certainly want to extend a welcome to you. I know this is a day that for a number of us, it's the first time that we've been out to church in a while. For some of us, this is something that we do every Sunday. And so it's a time that we gather together to remember what I believe is the most important event in all of history. You know, a lot of times when an important event is about to happen, there's a lot of fanfare. There's a lot of advertising, if you would. The Leafs are going to win the cup. And if we, they've been saying that, of course, now since 1967. And probably are going to keep saying that until 2167. But that's another discussion. The Leafs faithful, of which I am one, believe one day that that is going to become a reality. Some have said you're foolish, and I say I have faith. But, you know, 2,000 years ago, an event occurred that was not unlike an event. Crucifixion was not only reserved for Jesus. As a matter of fact, crucifixion was for those who were going to try and cause an insurrection against the Roman authorities. And it was used, actually, as a physical deterrent. In other words, if you were thinking about doing something against the authorities, this is your destiny. And so, for a lot of people, it was just another crucifixion. For some of them, the purpose of this crucifixion was to end this itinerant preacher that was causing some raucous. And the Roman government didn't mind that because, hey, anything that disturbs the collection of taxes, we don't like. So whatever that means, if this is going to get rid of him, I'm cool. I'm going to sign the papers, so to speak. And so we come together and we celebrate someone dying. I want you to think about that for a second. We celebrate a good man dying. A good man. The death he died was one that was reserved for criminals. Yet, we celebrate this. One of the most horrific forms of death was the crucifixion. Today, many of us in this room either has a tattoo of that death instrument or we wear it on our chains. Which one of us would actually wear an electric chair on our chains as a matter of celebration, not as a matter of rebellion? What was meant to cause pain and deterrent of both those who were going to have an insurrection now is lauded and we take it for granted. The most common buildings in our cities has on it this instrument of death. How? Why? Well, hopefully today we'll be either be reminded or we'll be taught why this is the case. You know, but it's very easy. It's very easy for it to be just another symbol. My wife and I recently went to Turkey. And in Turkey, there are three times a day where there is a loud ringing or call for prayer in that nation. Turkey is 98% Muslim. There are about 90 million people there. So we're not talking about four people, okay? It's a lot of people. We were there, and when the sound came for people to have a time of prayer, which there were three of them, nobody moved. Everybody continued just as they were. The most beautiful buildings in every community that we had there was a mosque. It stood out from every other building. What was meant for saturation became just another thing. For those who are followers of Christ, the world lifts up this weekend and says this is the most important weekend on the Christian calendar. Businesses use this as an opportunity to give you a sale. Now it has been so publicized that it is actually something that people use for the economy. And the challenge for us all, as distance and time has come for the most important event in all of history, we can ritualistically partake. And people like me, the purpose that we try to do is that this is just not another time. And of course, you've heard this. And perhaps you heard it last year. And you heard it the year before. But this event is remarkable. Time is measured by this event. The greatest ill in this world, death, of which everybody tries to run away from, has been defeated. Earlier this week, Melanie and I received a phone call. And the phone call that we received is from a couple who has life together. It would not be unfair to say they make close to $400,000 a year. Healthy. Their child is one of the best students in the field that they have. And I got a call, and the call says, and I usually, if you know me at all, when I answer the phone and I look who's calling, I always try to say something funny. And on the response of my attempt at humor was the phrase, "This world is a messed up place." Then I knew it was not another call that I would receive. Why do you say that? Well, my wife has been diagnosed with ALS. See, there are about 3,000 people in this country that are diagnosed with ALS. 90% of them are white males. This person was neither white nor a male.
And suddenly, the most horrific news that could be heard from one day to the other. What are we going to do? And I said, I don't have the words, but let's pray. And so, how are we going to deal with this? What awaits us? What destiny awaits us? And so we had another follow-up call. Of course, we've been praying for them every day. We had a follow-up call. No, nothing has changed. And basically, we have been given the news to live life as well as we can. This is not someone who's old by any stretch of the imagination. How do we deal with that? All your life when you had something planned that was so different than receiving that phone call from a doctor. And if you know this person, you'd know it's not someone that's a member of the congregation, but you'd know that this person was vivacious, and we always just joke around all the time. That was our love language. And that which was planned for all their life as retirement was imminent. And a lot of money was going to be at their disposal to quote unquote enjoy. Now, they're battling how to emotionally and mentally deal with this devastating news. But Jesus, I really believe, has the real answer. The crucifixion was of such grand importance that one time, the guy that we looked at in the video, Peter, you know, just to let you know, that was not really Peter. That was just someone portraying. Greg, I just want you to know that was not really Peter. That was someone portraying Peter. Okay, great. Sometimes Greg gets confused and everything.
Disappointed. Yeah.
At one time, Peter, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to be crucified. And Jesus was sharing what was ultimately going to happen to him. Peter, to express his love and appreciation and even protection of Jesus, said, no, Lord, never will this happen to you. And you know what Satan, you know what Jesus called Peter? Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God. A crucifixion can be a thing of God? You mean horrific things can ultimately be an instrument of God? Well, yes. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, he said this about the crucifixion and about this event. He says, I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Says, if you take everything away from me, all my learning, and Paul was a well-learned man. He says, if you take anything away, please, I grant me this wish, grant me that I do not lose the understanding that Christ was crucified for you and for me. Please don't let me ever forget that. And today, that instrument that was meant for terrorizing was actually now one of the most revered emblems in our society. How is that possible? Only through Jesus.
By the way, this was not a, it's amazing the God that we serve. This was not, oh my goodness, something is not going to plan, so let's turn this crucifixion into something good. If you read the scripture, there's one long arc that is in the scriptures. And ultimately is for God to save mankind from themselves and ultimately sin. And what was perceived initially for something that was the worst that could happen turned out to be God's most glorious moment. What a story for us. What a disposition to embrace. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that what you're going through that seems like it's the end of the world could be God's most glorious moment in your life as His power is to be displayed? Can you imagine? And I think if there's any message, and there are many, if there's any message of the cross, Paul writes and he says, it's the power of God. Right. No, you get that? The message of crucifixion is the very power of God. Well, that's some kind of power. There's no way. My youngest boy this morning just texted me and said, Happy Easter, Dad. And I shared with him, I said, I'm most proud of you is what kind of man of God that you are. But the idea of the cross in our lives is to display the power of God. And I reminded him of that. Today is unlike any day because it's the day that we turn that instrument that was wicked. And so this morning I want to reemphasize some of the scriptures that Wayne read, and for us to be very thoughtful that this is not just another time that you come and we're going to participate in some kind of Easter egg hunt or what have you. You know, this is the first time we've met here. This is a foreshadowing, hopefully, where the Ottawa church someday, somewhere, this is what we want to grow into not too far from now. Not because we want to become a big church, but because we want to have impact on people's lives. Amen. To tell them this story. That's right. This story that was meant for horror and for terrorism. Actually, it's God's greatest moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll do a little bit of reading here. So now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. There's a little bit of teaching here. And let us not ever be confused as to what the gospel is. Okay. There are a lot of things out there that tries to explain what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Paul very clearly establishes what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And he says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the way, the gospel is not only meant for us to receive it, but for us to take a stand on it. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So there's a concept here that actually you can believe this gospel in vain, uselessly, without any effect. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Right there is the gospel. And what the gospel is Jesus Christ dying for your sin and for my sin. That he was buried, and on the third day, that he was raised again. And it's important that we understand the gospel is not that my disease are going to be cleansed, that I'm going to be wealthier, or that I'm going to marry a Christian person, or I'm going to raise Christian children. That may be one of the benefits in being a disciple, but there's no guarantee. That's not the gospel. This is the gospel. We'll see the power of this gospel in a second. He continues in verse 14. And he says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Paul emphasizes the fact that Christ died for our sins. And then he says, it's not only important that you believe that Christ died for our sins, but that he was raised. And he says, if that's the case, that Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. There is a connection between the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. More than that, what can be more than our faith being useless? More than that. More than what? More than the fact that our faith is useless, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, and we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Paul writes and he talks about the fact what the resurrection does. And I'll sum it up all in a few moments. But my only goal today is that this is not just something that we ritualistically attend. That it's not merely, and a lot of times people come to Christmas and Easter services because they want to give their child or their parents a gift. And my gift to you is that I'm going to come to church. As if you're doing them a favor. You know how I know that? There are times I give my aunt that gift. My aunt says, I want to come. And my aunt says, I'm going to give you a gift, I would say to my aunt. And ultimately, what happened is, I would give them a gift, only to realize that gift was actually being offered to me. And my aunt was very gracious. And so we close with this section of Scripture today. In verse 50, it says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with perishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God that he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What does the bookend of this weekend mean?
The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The Bible tells us that without the crucifixion, without the shedding of blood of Jesus on the cross, we're still in our sins. The crucifixion is the penalty that was paid, where Christ himself paid the penalty for our sins, and he took on our sins. And so in response to what the cross has done for us, to us, and why the cross even occurred because of us, that our sins have an opportunity to be forgiven. And the Bible says the sin now does not have a hold on me if we respond to the cross. Amen. Now, wiping out the sins is a great thing. You know what it does after that? There's the resurrection. The resurrection that gives us hope to know one day that we're not living just for this. As I get older, and I realize that if this is all I'm living for, what a pathetic life. That angst and difficulty of the call that I received earlier this week would not be felt if we understood that Christ has defeated both sin and death. Amen. The two greatest ills of this world is not our team not winning, our sports. It's not me not getting that promotion. It's not even your health. It's not even that boy not liking you, or that girl not paying any attention to you, that she doesn't even know you exist. And you think that's the end of the world. Or that exam that's coming up that I'm ill-prepared for, that is totally due to your fault. That if I don't pass this exam, my life is going to end. You know what's a funny thing? No one's ever asked me for my middle school, my high school, or my university grades. No one said, can I see your fifth grade report card, please? But there are times when I was walking, I thought this is the end of the world, if this does not. But what Christ has done with the cross and his resurrection, he puts it into perspective and he paints for us the value of what the cross has done for us, to us, and because of us. And so this morning, as we reflect on this most important event, death has no victory. sin has no power. And there's a time that I lived enslaved to sin. And I thought, how can I stop this? How can I stop this selfishness, this selfish ambition, this impurity, this greed, this lust? How can I stop it? I thought, I'm so enslaved. And Jesus tells us in His Word that if we respond to the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be enslaved to sin anymore. That He's provided a way out. And that which all philosophers write and talk about, to run away from death. Death could not keep its hold on Him. To know one day that that's what awaits us. That's what the Bible tells us. If we have shared with Him in His death, then we will share with Him in His resurrection. But you've got to share with Him first in His death. The Bible talks specifically how to do that. I want to encourage you, if this is your first time with us, and ask the person who brought you, or if you saw one of our posters on campus, ask someone here. Go ahead. Come and ask me how we can actually talk about this. Because we can believe this in vain. That's what Paul said. Jesus talks about this. There are a lot of us, me included, love the resurrection story. I don't like so much the crucifixion story. You know what Jesus says about the crucifixion? Where I am, there my followers would be. I love the resurrection story. It's about other-centered. It's about doing things for other people. And so, as we think about the greatest event in all of history, that applies not only to those 2,000 years ago. I pray for you and I, it's just not another Sunday. That we understand what is offered. You know what it says? There is a hope that makes no sense. That irrespective of how you live your life, you can, you know what resurrection does? Gives new hope that says we can start again. And God will not count your sins against you. There are a number of times when I meet with someone and they say to me, Tony, I'm beyond help. Go look for someone else who want this. But me, I'm beyond help. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've thought. You don't know the things that are in my life that I have done. There's no hope for me. There are other people who are deserving of this much more than I am. And that's a lie straight from the depths of hell. God is the God of second chances. Amen. And third chances. And fourth chances. God is like a GPS. You ever go driving a place and you're driving? It doesn't matter where you make a turn, that GPS is going to correct your turn. Wow. That's all right, yeah. God is reaching out his long arms. And his ear is not too dull to hear. And his arm is not too short to save. That as faint as your cry may be, he will hear. As you are in the muck and mire of life, his arm is not too short to reach down and pull us from that muck and mire. That's the message of the cross. It doesn't make sense to people. I've known people that have believed that they are beyond repair. That's the good news, and that's the hope that is given us because of the resurrection. And I tell you, I can't wait for this body to become imperishable, because God knows it's perishable right now. There are times I realize I didn't have a muscle there. What? There's muscles there? Well, how come that it hurts so much? And our prayer for that phone call that we received earlier this week was that this person will thank God for this moment. What? Yes. That we can actually thank God for the ALS? What? The God that we serve. The God took what was most evil and just treacherous of the cross, and he turned it to the most beautiful thing. And today we say, thank you for that good man dying. Amen. And so whatever challenges that God allows us to face, ultimately, is to bring us to say those words, I thank God for this cancer. I thank God for this ALS. Not for the ALS or cancer, but what it may lead to. You see what I'm saying? I'm not sadistic. I'm not looking for pain, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. Is that if it leads us ultimately to the hope and trust in God. And so today, may you take this communion like you never have before. Not because of what I say. What I say, it means nothing. What the message is. And so if you have a communion, we are giving pre-filled communion. Raise your hand if you don't have one. And so the communion guys are going to go ahead. Keep your hand up. And then to help us with that moment, we have some people that's going to help us even get into the heart and to the mind. When you get your communion, please go ahead and put your hand down so that people will know. And so after this time to get us into the right mindset, Chris is going to give thanks for the body and the blood of Christ, and then we'll go ahead and partake, hopefully, in one of our most meaningful communions we have ever taken as we celebrate the most important event in all of history.